Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 129 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Hello.
We're back.
We are.
With what we've been playing.
Is it? Have we got to talk about games? I suppose we better.
It seems like we do these every other week.
Deja vu, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not deja vu because different things have happened and I'm going to tell you all about them.
Go on then.
I'll start with Warhammer Online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all different. It is. It is all different.
Have they made it all better?
Well, last week, I think the week before this, we were just doing the usual thing, open RVR, following the Zerg train around, doing keep door rammed over and over again.
Zerg train like crazy train?
It's very much so, yes. Yes, same sort of thing. It drives me crazy, it really does. And I was even remarking on Team Chat, God, here we go with the keep door pantomime again. I think a bit of dissatisfaction. Remember what I said, if we can't fill a group, it's all over.
Yeah.
Right, there's no more Warhammer. Well, we only had five people this time. It's terrible.
Wow.
I know.
Over by Christmas.
It's over by Christmas. There was a lot of people who still want to play, but for various reasons can't, and a lot of people who don't want to play, which is fair enough.
I don't want to play.
No. I don't know, a little bit disappointing, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with it to the end. And our existing group is welcome to join me. No, it's good, though, because I'm glad we stuck around, because they've completely redone how OpenRVR works now.
Really?
Yeah, in the big old tier lakes there with your keeps. Traditionally, a business of just charging at the enemy keep, throwing massive numbers at it, steamrollering them, rinsing
or
and
PvP
repeating.
PvP, it's all the way down.
Yeah, well, there's a whole different thing. Big old patch, 1.4 or something or other. I think it might be the number. And yes, it's all changed now. It's quite a complex procedure to capture the zone lock now, which I wrote a small guide in the Hipster Battalion.
A big guide.
a big guide of what to do now on our forum on the Hipster Battalion bit of the static groups section. But yes, basically, you just got to capture the enemy castle now.
Huzzah!
Yeah, but to do
how
that...
How hard could that be? You know where that is.
That is very hard, actually. Because you have to do it with you can't attack the door with swords anymore. You have to do it with the ram.
Okay.
And the quartermaster's gone from the war camp, which is good because you don't have to spend your own money buying siege equipment anymore. Instead, you need to upgrade your own keep with resources, which it gains levels when it has enough resources. And once it's got those levels, it will spawn rams that you can pick up and carry across. So you can then attack the enemy keep's door and get in and capture the flag. There's no more NPCs. The champions and heroes, the keep lord and all his minions are all gone.
Unemployment is getting out of hand.
They've all been laid off, presumably because of the downturn, yeah. No, the keeps and battle objectives are now completely unguarded, which is important because the flags now generate resource carriers. Those are NPCs. Once you've captured a flag, the traditional battle objectives, the banners there, after a few minutes they'll generate an NPC who then runs over to the nearest keep, and if enough of those get through, your keep gets upgraded. So suddenly it's all about being out and about in the battle, the battle objectives, which usually got ignored and left as a sort of tidy up operation after you'd taken the keeps and effectively won. So you've got to be out and about in the field. I think perhaps about 80% of all open RVR fighting happened within the sort of 10 feet of the enemy's keep door, with the ram and the back line and the boiling oil and everything. And I think they've really tried to, and I think probably from what I can tell of the brief goes I've had with it, succeeded in making people fight in other places, trying to make it mix it up a bit, trying to sort of use more of the battlefield. I mean, yeah, there'd be a bit of skirmishing as people were moving between keep door to keep door, but now it seems a much more dynamic thing because you've got all these NPC resource carriers running around, which you can either try and intercept or need to guard, and the flags need to be kept as well. Because there's no NPCs at all on the flags either, one single player can right-click the flag, and as long as they're not being attacked for 10 seconds, they'll capture the battle objective.
Okay.
And flip it. So suddenly, I wonder about that. I'm sort of had a good bit of a go on a Zealot in Tier 2 the other night, and just sort of trying to get a feel for how the new thing flows. And it does seem to be much more banner based, much more battle objective. It's all about the flags and getting the people through, because you've got to guard the flag as well. Because as I say, all it takes is one witch hunter or one witch elf, or you don't even need stealth, to be honest. As long as no one else is around, just run in, right click the flag, ha ha, now it belongs to us. It starts counting up to deliver resources to the other team or your own team. Trouble is, the resource carriers, when they spawn, they don't immediately go and run. They need to be manually right-clicked and set on their way. Like the process called issuing orders when it comes up in the zone broadcast.
Can't they think for themselves?
No, they can't. And that means that there's a requirement to guard these flags now, which is something that, again, didn't really happen. You either dug in at the keep and waited for the enemy to just knock your door down, kill your keep lord, or you went and did the same to them. Now, there's much more of an emphasis on securing and maintaining battle objectives. You've also got to guard resource carriers. It seems a lot more flexible now. There's a lot more ways you can approach the battle, whereas previously it had been so ruthlessly sort of optimized down to one strategy that worked, that often when, you know, our little group turns up of five people, we decide we'll be helpful and go and capture some battle objectives. You know, five more people aren't going to make the door go down any quicker, so we'll go and clear some of the flags. And under the old system, I think that then removed some of the NPCs from the keep that they were being attacked, which I thought helped. But the amount of very harsh language you'd get on zone broadcast for taking the battle objectives before we were allowed to tends to it's shocking. It really was. But now it's all about the battle objectives, as far as I can tell. Also, they've added the aerial bombing thing as well. When your keep gets to rank 3, it starts spawning, I think it's manticores for chaos and griffins for order, destruction. You get these flying mounts on top of the two keeps, which you can right click, and then you get on them, and they'll autopilot their way to the enemy keep and then just start doing big loops out the front in the air. And while you're on it, you can start dropping AoE bombs all over the place while you're doing it. It's fantastic fun. I really like it. We're doing an awful lot of that. Now we've got the hipster battalion airborne wing. On Monday, it should be quite a laugh as we give this a go. But that's good, because it means that you can't just set up the oil on the ramparts and just murder people with impunity, and everyone else has to struggle on through it. Because you get a couple of these manticores fly past and bomb the oil to bits, or people standing next to it, and you can even jump from these manticores and land on a bombing location yourself. And that can be used. I don't know if it's intentional or whether I'd accidentally found an exploit already, but you can use the jump off the manticore thing and actually land on the wall, which, yeah, I'm wondering means that a single person can capture the keep, because there's no keep lord anymore. So if there was no one in that keep, yes, you can't beat the door down on your own as a single player, but you could jump across and onto the ramparts, which would then give you uncontested access to where the banner is. I don't know if perhaps the banner itself cannot be physically captured until your keep's upgraded to whatever. I don't know. I have to have a look at that. But seems to be much more of an emphasis on defence, and also the way the system's been set up, it seems much more... lone individual players can contribute far more now, because it's about keeping people in multiple locations all the time and keeping these resource runners moving through, making sure no one just runs in and right clicks your flag, costing you the entire war, you know. And I'm wondering if that's perhaps they've gone a bit too far with that, because of how easy it becomes to capture these flags and have ninja players just run in and run amok, basically. Or whether it's going to be good for the game in that it will encourage people to dig in at the flags and hold them, you know. The thing with PvP is everyone loves an assault, but no one wants to do defence. No one wants to be goalie, you know. No one wants [S2] Yeah. [S1] To sit back and stand there and just wait and have nothing happen. It's the whole war against people's patience, you know. If people just get bored guarding, they'll wander off. And then you go in and you capture it. So it'd be interesting to see what it does in the sort of medium to long term. But I think it's definitely very refreshing at the moment, just seeing how this new stuff works. It's all in for free. The Skaven are there as well, but I believe all this Skaven stuff is actually Tier 4. And I think what you've got to do there, I don't really know for sure, is that you've got to sort of secure a PvE dungeon or a competitive PvE dungeon, and if you can get control of it, you can then unlock Skaven units to be available for your side, and then players can be Skaven after earning a number of points or something. There's rat ogres which can fling people. I don't know whether they can beat the door down like a ram, or whether they can just throw people over the balcony. And there's catapults that can catapult people about as well. It's just really interesting. After the number of weeks we've been going around tiers 2 and 3 doing the same old routine, it was really getting quite samey, and probably the reason a number of people left our little group over the whole thing. So, yeah, looking forward to trying a lot more of that, seeing how that changes the battlefield. I don't think it's going to change anyone's mind about the game as a whole. If you hate Warhammer, that's not going to... You'll still hate Warhammer. If you like the game in principle but just got a bit bored of the repetitive PV open RVR, then this might be worth a look. It's free for everyone. This is not to do with the Renown packs or anything. Those are separate things altogether. And those both seem to be on for some... I think I was checking some of Zoso's tweets there, and he was saying that... both of the personality and the renown pack had gone on for the UK customers at like £6.25 for both of them or something, and I was quite wavering at that point, but you know, it's a principle, you know. I could only be stubborn.
That's how
so
they
far
do it.
I know, but whether that was a mistake or a starter offer or whatever, I don't know, but I might end up getting them. I don't know, it depends if I get to tier 4 and decide I want to keep, you know, making a weekly thing of it all, or whether that's enough for me, in which case buying these extra packs probably wouldn't be worthwhile. So I'm going to hold off, but still playing, still interested. Got me chosen up to 29 now, so.
Excellent.
Although the recent update did jigger all the level banding for the tiers about a bit more now. You can stay in tier 1 till 15 now.
Oh.
Instead of the previous 12 when it turned you into a chicken. I think it's 16 turns you into a chicken now in tier 1. And yeah, all the way up as well. So I think we're working our way out of tier 3, and they move the goalposts on us. So. But then, I think it's 32 plus for tier 4 now, which, given the vast discrepancies in renown rank that can go on at that in that tier, is probably just as well to have the... I mean, it wouldn't be entirely unthinkable to make it so that only rank 40s could take part in tier 4, spread the rest out across, but I don't want to make it so that I have to stay much longer in tier 3, to be honest. We've been there and we've done most of that. Yeah, we potter at the occasional public question stuff. I think it really is shaping up to be open RVR as the main event for us nowadays, though, in our what we do each week.
Shocking.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some decent gear that comes from PvE, you know, the public quests and so on, but ultimately that kind of stuff generally is done better in other games, and it's the RVR, and particularly the open RVR, that I like the best. We'd try a bit of Tauran Rock, which was one of the scenarios. I'm not quite sure how all this new patch works with scenarios. I think they're pretty much left as they were. They no longer contribute towards zone domination or anything like that for the open RVR. So finally, ORVR victory is entirely based on what goes on in the open RVR lakes, which I think is a good thing. You know, you'd work your ass off to try and lock down the whole zone, you know, the whole lake, both keeps, all the battle objectives, and you'd fight really hard for it for like 2 hours, and then everyone would sit there and wait for people to finish the right number of public quests, but that got taken out, but then even then scenarios still had like a massive contribution to who won the overall thing, and they're not the same game, and I had really no interest in scenarios, and I don't know how many other people shared that kind of viewpoint, which is that, you know, this is the particular gameplay I'm playing, and I want the reward to be for the work I've done.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm not quite sure where that leaves scenarios now. Just a thing people do for fun. I mean, they've got their own medallion system in there for their own loot and so on, and some people obviously prefer that kind of format. Not me. I like the open roaming. And yeah, trying to understand and work out how best to adapt to this new system, which really has quite transformed open RVR for Warhammer. But for better or worse, we'll have to see. I guess it was one of these it looked good on paper things, but yeah, I wonder how much testing under a large number of players it's had. We'll see.
It's a couple of days at the moment, I reckon.
It's getting it now, yeah, absolutely. But yes, I think we're all going to become flyboys. Flyers are up in the air, you know. Yeah.
20 minutes.
20 minutes, yeah. Johnny Order doesn't like bombing. Yeah, we'll give him what for. So that was all good. What else do I play? It's all breaking down a bit and losing track. I've been playing some EverQuest 2 over the weekend.
Oh.
This weekend they've had a gold event, the first of, I'm sure, what will become a many and a semi-regular thing, where they give all the bronze and silver players gold access for the weekend.
Ah, to try and make it so that it hurts when you go back again.
Absolutely. Here's what you're missing. The first hit's free, all that. I don't know. Maybe they're just seeing the... Maybe this is a natural and obvious thing for them to do, marketing-wise, or perhaps they're just not seeing enough conversions, or everyone's just gone in there for bronze and sticking two fingers up, or I don't know. But yeah, over the weekend, I've taken this fantastic opportunity to use the auction house.
Ooh.
Yes, which I previously hadn't done. I went out and bought two really, really big bags, like 36 slots each for my... I've got access to all five bag slots now, but they're going to lock up again at the end of the weekend, so I've been very careful not to put anything in those last three.
Yes.
Apparently, if you put stuff in, you're allowed to take it out, but you won't be able to put stuff in again after the weekend, so it won't be trapped there forever. I mean, by the time you listen to this, it'll all be over anyway, so this is all just of academic interest.
Moot.
Absolutely. I also took the opportunity to go and buy a crap load of spell scrolls, upgrades for my skills off the auction house. Went through and did the whole catalogue. That was good. I got myself a decent new weapon as well, which had been, I think there's like a 25% increase in DPS.
So effectively you're cheating.
I'm cheating, yes. I'm using this gold opportunity to just stock up and make myself viable again.
I'm not going to spend any money on this game. You're cheating on that by them giving it to you.
I didn't ask them to make me gold. I'm quite happy being bronze, but no, apparently I've been made gold, so, well, all right. Suddenly I've gained an extra 50 quest slots, which I'm desperately trying not to use any of.
Because, again,
it's all made it very difficult, actually. I wish they'd just leave me alone. I'm quite happy being bronze. I hope they don't do this too often, but if they are going to do it, I'm going to make the most of it. But so, yeah, it's nice being able to loot again. It's always a problem in most games. Oh, my bags are full. Oh, well. We've done a bit of dungeoneering with the little group we got going on the Tuesdays there. They got achievements in there now. They don't do anything, as far as I can tell. They don't even give you Sony points like what the turbine ones do in Lord of the Rings. But we went into the Wailing Caves just for a bit of a knockabout, accidentally ended up killing the big boss at the bottom of it all.
As you do.
I know. We just kept going. We're not dead yet. Whoa, interesting. Let's see how far we get. Oh, right, we've done it. All right, where should we go now? I think we did the same thing for another one as well. Don't think it was Stormhold. I lose track now. Wailing Caves. Was it Fallen Gate? I don't know. But yes, we seem to have put together a fairly good group. We got all the basics there, the healer, the tank, etc., damage. It's all good stuff. We're looking at the card game as well.
Ooh.
A much overlooked and neglected feature of EverQuest 2 is the Legends of Norrath in-game card game, which you need to enable in the launcher to get it to download all the assets for if you've just gone on the free-to-play thing. Is it a tick box there? It'll take another 700 meg to download or whatever, but... once you're in there, you can open up that window. It's got fully integrated tutorial, which I've only just got through. I set homework for the whole group this week to work their way through the tutorial. It takes a while.
You sure know how to make stuff fun.
Absolutely, yes. I want all these TPS reports on my desk by the end of the week. I did have a go at it before when I played EverQuest previously on a serious sort of sub, but I don't know why. Perhaps it didn't grab me, or I didn't have anyone to play with. But now we've got this whole guild thing going. We're going to make this week Legends of Norrath night and see how we get on with the card game. Apparently, you can play four players, two versus two, that sort of thing. You know, it's not quite straight limited. Very reminiscent of Magic the Gathering, but with tweaked about rules. It's all based on doing quests. You can either attack your enemy and, you know, knock his hit points off just like Magic, or you complete quests and gain extra game points that way with quest cards and whatever. I should probably have been paying more attention and skipping through it less, but there we go. I imagine practice makes perfect. I don't know if we're going to be playing a lot of this and adopting it as a regular thing, but we've got to give it a decent shot. I haven't tried this thing seriously and in anger before, so see what the actual I've only ever done the tutorials and the you versus the AI stuff.
You really don't hear an awful lot about it nowadays.
Well, they regularly do the boosters, I think. Yeah, there's booster packs that come out on a fairly semi-regular basis, just like Magic the Gathering, you know, or whatever. They do sort of editions of cards. I think this current lot's Oathbreaker or something. I remember it being something different when I started. But And apparently they come up as loot as well, monster loot. But I've never, ever, ever seen it happen. So perhaps you have to activate the whole thing in the first place before it becomes... They start showing up in world as card drops off of monsters.
Possibly.
I don't know. Well, it's just an aspect of the game that I just really never put the time it deserves in. It may be rubbish, but until I've given it a proper go, I think it's hard to call on it. So I think that's probably going to be the plan for this next week. We're going to give that a go and see if it's any good. So I'll have lots to talk about there.
Excellent.
I think. been doing some Guild Wars. Yeah, well, it's this whole Linking War and Kryta thing. Oh, we had a nightmare of it. We all sort of got on and started doing some of this War and Kryta, which is basically a long-running sort of self-contained quest line that supposedly tries to connect up the end via the north with Guild Wars 2.
Excellent.
Prepping people for it. There was an announcement this week or last week about the continuation, which what looks to be the second part of this, which is going to be some factions based thing called the Winds of Change in Cantha. It's not unreasonable to expect there'll be a Nightfall type based one going on as well later down the line. Probably even an Eye of the North one, we don't know, but yeah, there's some. It's all endgame quests. You can't even start these quest lines until you've done Prophecies or Eye of the North, you know, completed the campaign. So it's something for the veteran players, and we were doing it all in hard mode as well, which wasn't helping. Lots of go out there and kill White Mantle bosses and so on. It's basically about trying to get the Shining Blade start a revolution in Kryta and dislodge the evil White Mantle, and sort of, you know, tie up those loose ends really. So we've done quite hard quest stuff around Kryta, and then we get to somewhere near the end, and a new build of Guild Wars is available. So we all log in, and it spams this at you every time, so often, until you log out and log back in again. And so we did, and found that it had introduced a new overarching quest line, which ties together all these other small quests that make up the War in Kryta together. I mean, the way you have to do it otherwise is by wikiing it all, basically, which is not ideal. So this sort of meta quest signposts it all the way through. Trouble is, if you talk to the wrong guy, it resets you all the way back to the beginning of the goddamn quest line.
Did you talk to the wrong guy?
I talked to the wrong guy, and so did a couple of us, I think. So now we're all in really different places and all been wound back, and we've got to do a lot of it again, and I'm quite cross. But we just went out and did a Vanquish instead. We're getting into this hard mode thing. The Vanquish is basically where you have to switch it to hard mode, go out into a zone and kill every single monster in the zone. And this takes some very meticulous pathfinding skills. You've got to plot a careful route to make sure you don't miss anyone. Otherwise, you get to the hilarious stage, which we got to at the very end, which is when you've got like three monsters left in an area the size of Belgium, and you have no idea where they are at all. You know, you're running through. Oh, there's some loot that we didn't bother to pick up. We must have been here. Yeah. And so you're just sort of scouring this entire map. It's very, very completionist, to be honest. I'm not sure if I recommend it, but if you do the
Vanquish... You're still at 19?
No, I'm at 20 now. I gained another point because I realised that I hadn't actually shown all of my heroes to the monument.
Oh.
Yeah, the
is that a euphemism?
No. Very literally. The one you get for having henchmen up to level 20 and also with their cosmetic armour upgrade... It only counts if you've actually taken them into the Hall of Monuments and been there. The hero's been with you when you use the monument. Then they get added to it. So it turned out I had a whole load that I hadn't had before, and I managed to add a load more. Basically, I've got my prismatic rainbow jellyfish thing.
Wow.
I know, it was awesome. So, you know, only 10 to go, and 10 really hard ones to do. So, I don't know. I think a year's probably about right. I think I'm just about have it at 30 by the time Guild Wars 2 comes out. But apparently you can still carry on earning them after Guild Wars 2 is launched as well. So who knows? But I'm quite pleased about having a floating rainbow jellyfish. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm not even a ranger. Look, go away. Why are you following me? I don't know if it's mandatory. Maybe you've got to have the jellyfish. maybe there's no way not to have it. I'm getting quite worried now. Yeah. And it's a jellyfish. It's not going to be able to follow me across the plains and up the mountains, is it? It's just going to sit there in a pathetic looking heap on the beach. Making blubbering noises, probably.
I'm not even sure they can make blubbering noises.
No. It's just going to be this like rather dubious and embarrassing-looking object on the beach. And I'm going to be going, come on, attack the bear. Look, boars. And it's just going to be there, you know, wibbling. And I'm just going to... Oh, what have I let myself in for? I'm a monster.
You're not in a situation where you can look after a jellyfish.
I don't think I'm suitable to look after a jellyfish, to be honest. I know what we'll do. We'll only ever adventure underwater.
Okay.
That way we can be... best jellyfish pals forever. attack sharks and things and have adventures. It'll be all right. Yeah, it'll be fine. What the hell am I talking about? My other games that I play, Lotro,
yes.
Let's talk about Lotro. We played. We had our warm up week.
We had our warm up week. That went swimmingly.
That was all right. Yeah. Well, your group went
easy
swimmingly.
Easy in, easy out. No deaths. No one broke a sweat.
So that was your experience. Yeah, my experience in our group, I don't want to name and shame our would-be tank, who has since decided he doesn't really want to play Lotro anyway because he hasn't got time, after I've lost my Survivor title. No, I lost my Do Not Die title before that, and that's fine. I was the only one that died, and I died three times because our tank was herding, and every time I threw a heal on them, every single monster came and hit me in the face.
That's the problem. And, that level, you're the only one with any aggro control.
Oh, I don't
control.
Blame him at all. No, I mean, I remember this when we went through with the A-team, as it were, about a year ago when I was the Guardian tanking in that, and it was just a nightmare because you only get one direct taunt that only lights up every sort of 3 minutes. At those early levels. I mean, I would say until about 30, maybe even 40, you don't really get the proper tools to do the job for tanking in that game. And I'm starting to think healing's going a bit. I've only just got my second heal.
Yeah.
At 16 with
my
minstrel.
Get a lot better.
No, exactly. So it's, I don't know. I mean, at low levels, you just got to be a lot more cautious and only try pulling ones and twos, maybe, or twos and threes, or just, yeah, just zerg it with everyone go DPS now, as it were. I mean, getting the classic Trinity thing, it comes very late, to be honest, in that game. So something to look out for if any of the Hobbington Crescent Next Generation are listening in. Because, yeah, don't be too worried about class anxiety, because it takes a while for all your classes to build up in that game to their full glory. We did all the prologues. Well, most people. I think ended up setting homework again. Sorry. I've got to stop doing that.
Did mine.
You've done yours. You've done your prologue, yeah. This is your sort of introduction into the whole volume and book chapter thing that sort of takes you from, well, level 5 up to about 10, 5 to 10, 12, whatever. We did the Hobbit one. We didn't really have time to get the other one done. Your group went and did about 3 in the time it took us to do one. So
we did 5. We did the
only 4.
We did the Orc and the Nazgul one too.
The Nazgul prologue. Wow, that must be awesome. That's what Monster Play needs, isn't it? A full set of 15 book volumes that they can play through in the Ettinmoors. That'd be brilliant. So I mean, it's all looking good though. A lot of people joining in. I think we've got about 3 groups worth of people on the go. And we were going to do the official kickoff of book one this week when they decided to just kill the server. I don't know, they shot it with a nail gun. I don't know what. If anyone from Turbine is listening,
I know.
Or Codemasters, rather. Sorry,
I know what happened.
What happened?
You
were following it all on Twitter. They were very good about tweeting
they were
going
incredibly
on,
good
fair.
About tweeting, and it
still doesn't mollify my wrath.
They came out with an explanation which makes perfect sense, which is one of the fallover servers didn't fall over properly, and so didn't pass on to another server.
Their servers can't even fall over properly. Hell, I mean, you know, how hard is falling over?
It's one job is to fall over and let somebody know it's fallen over, and it fell over and didn't do that.
I suppose it's like stuntmen, isn't it? You got to fall over in a particular way.
Yeah, you do. And, yeah, it's one of those really annoyingly hard things to diagnose.
Oh, well, all technical voodoo, but for one reason or another, we didn't end up being able to play Lotro until about 9:30, getting on for 10 on a Friday. But quite a lot of us logged in anyway, because we're all
ironically
really keen about getting started.
Ironically,
yeah,
it gave me an opportunity to log in and play Need for Speed Hot Pursuit and beat somebody at Turbine's score in a race.
Oh, service down, is it? Right, I'll show you.
I didn't mean to literally go after him. I noticed that I did, and I thought, yeah.
There we go. Whatever flip-flop, fall-over thing fell over correctly, and it kicked off again at about 9 or so. So, yeah, quite a few people in. I think we had a group and a half. There were various people soloing for a bit, and we had a little six-man group going in the Old Forest as a sort of inaugural attempt to try and get our roles going. And, yeah, I've seen Warden tanking firsthand now. It's incredible.
Does it work?
It's just a lot of shouting. I mean, they've got a shield, so it must be some kind of tanking. But, you know, as a Guardian, I was just sitting there thinking, no, this is a bit dubious, to be honest. I don't think this is proper tanking. It will never catch on. In my day, you just had a shield and you had to keep beating on it with the mace going ding, ding, ding. But no, but yes, it works. But to be fair, well, we went all the way through the Old Forest, and I'm talking every square foot, trying to find our way out at the end, actually, to be honest. We did get a bit lost.
Always get lost. Everyone always gets
lost
in
the
Old
Forest.
Forest,
absolutely. It's a very, very inaugural experience. Unless you've done that, you're not really playing Lotro. But we went in there with the express intent of finding an elite monster just so we could do some group stuff. And they've really dumbed the Old Forest down a lot since we were there. This is going to be another In My Day rant.
Oh, excellent.
But, well, for starters, all the trees are now signature, not elite. Do you remember going in there?
Yeah.
And they were angry.
They were angry
trees, and they were all elite. And often you couldn't see the trees for the trees. So you'd just get this root wallopy out of nowhere, and you'd hit it back, and suddenly, wow, the forest comes alive. It was really good, really effective.
Yeah, and then you had somebody like...
terrifying.
Say Matt, who would take great pleasure in finding every tree he could.
Yeah, we'd charge on through as a full group, and it was actually quite good, because Summer Book 1 takes you through the Old Forest, because you need to talk to Tom Bombadil, who lives in there.
Tom Bombadil.
But the first time we went through, about a year ago, it was all elite, and it was just a nightmare of just the walls literally coming alive and being very powerful and stomping you. And we got through it, but it was quite terrifying and hectic. The music used to be really mad and intense, and the ambient lighting didn't help either. Ditto, went in there Friday. It was just a nice peaceful walk in the woods. The trees were all there minding their own. They still aggro, but they're all signature, so I don't even know if they aggro. You might have to actually hit them first. So something's happened to the Old Forest to make it a lot more chilled out than we used to know.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and anyway, so we went all the way down to the big spidery bit at the south side of the river. Yes, we went south of the river that time of night, and it was just spiders, solo spiders. And you remember that really big, angry tree at the far end, the warped oak or something, whatever it's called. The particular elite tree that was like a major boss at the far end got down all the way down there, signature.
Yeah.
I know, we could have soloed it. I mean, obviously we wouldn't have got through it at the same rate. And we did get some cracking deed work done as well. I mean, kill 20 trees, no problem. You know, up to 15 before we realised the deed had been awarded to us. Obviously the kill 40 of them. Because those 20 and 40 numbers were based on them being elite, and they hadn't changed them. So it's not a difficult deed to get at all now. And there's the flowers deed. We found a few flowers.
The flowers. I can never remember where they are.
No, exactly.
I forget how many times I've done it.
I think I finally completed that deed on my main character at level 55 or so. And I had to use a wiki to find the last one. It's terrible. But yeah, so quite a twisty, turny sort of place, the Old Forest. It was just good fun romping around with the group, trying, getting used to each other's roles and stuff. I still haven't really learnt not to be the first one to pull an attack as the group healer. I know, it's going to take me a while to just chill out and relax and let the tank get on with it. But I got good hopes. I think we're playing well together, we're getting stuff done. There was no deaths, actually. I mean, it was all signature, but we were pulling twos and threes at a time. Yeah. So we were keeping the rate going and keeping it interesting, but... so still no start on the big book so far. Hopefully this Friday we'll get some proper groups together, and we'll be able to kick off with an introduction to Strider and the Prancing Pony.
Yep. Mordor by Christmas.
Mordor by Christmas, no problem. Do not specify the year. I got quite enjoying that. I pottering about a bit on my main as well, getting back into that, and mostly just there's a lot of solo questing around the sort of lower deeps of Moria. I'm sort of working volume 2, book 6 or so, and it's all sent into the Foundations of Stone, and there was a section where I had to look for Gandalf's hat.
Ah.
It's great, because we'd already found it and been on a big tour of that ages ago, so I already knew where that was. That's quite helpful. I've not seen Enedraeth yet. I was talking to Tepa about it, actually. He's not been there yet either, and we're saving it, really.
Yeah, so, I've only stepped my foot in. I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, in his own words, this has got to last us till April or something. So,
my last half level or so has got to last me until the next autumn.
Oh, you can max out the level, because it's your legendary items take over at that point, so you've always got bars to fill in, but... But yeah, I still no particular date for getting the old band back together. Probably have to wait and see what Warhammer's doing, something free up the Monday. But yeah, it's just a good feel there. I mean, a lot of us are just in there pottering about, just sort of doing minor crafting and harvesting around Breeland and the Shire. It's just a great place to chill out and unwind as well.
Yeah, the option to just drop in and pottering is always quite attractive.
Mm. Also, I can't believe how much money Explorer earns as well. If you just harvest all the stuff and sell it, my God, money worries are over. You can afford your skills for a start, which I could never do until about level 40 or so.
So what you're saying is loot anything you find and you will be able to afford stuff?
No, not the loot. It's pick the crafting... You pick Explorer as your crafting triad. And that includes Prospector, Forester, and Taylor. Taylor, don't worry about it. That's just a hobby. You know, I've made a few bits and pieces for myself, quite useful, but nothing I'm going to sink a lot of time and effort into. But basically, you can generate all of the raw resources apart from the stuff in the urns for scholars and the stuff in the fields for farmers. So all the hides, all the wood, all the metals, the gemstones, and you just bung it all on the auction house at stupid low prices, and they give you a load of money for it, and you can use that money to buy stuff. It's amazing. This must be what all you people do all the time. Yeah. So yes, my little Lobie is definitely going to be just a harvester, to be honest. I shall be turfing over raw materials to kinship members, of course, if they need them to skill up and stuff, but mostly I'm in it for the money. So it's good. I've got my Theorbo now, on my Lobie. Giant double bass thing, which looks particularly fine when a hobbit's trying to hold it. It's taller than I am. It's great. Well, then I used to run around with a shield that was bigger than my hobbit as well. I think it's a recurring theme with hobbits.
I think it is.
Yeah. Let's see. That's probably it for MMOs. There was another one, wasn't there? Oh, come on, brain. Give me the name of the game. I'm trying to hold five down at the moment. I can't remember what the other one was. I'm obviously not doing a very good job of holding it down. So we've got EQ2, Guild Wars, Warhammer. It's not DDO, is it?
No.
I'm going to have to just let it go. It's gone. Sorry. Wow. Yeah.
So if you're in a group with Tim in this other game, you're so unmemorable.
Oh, don't put it like that. I'm not a bad person. I've been playing a lot of 360 over the last day.
Yeah.
Yes, it's all gotten a bit competitive here, really. I've gone and uncharacteristically bought my own copy of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Do you want to see how much I played it this weekend?
No, because this has all turned into some nightmarish, bitter, twisted... 17 hours. Yeah, that explains why you're... Yes, explains why you're somewhat ahead of me then. I decided to try and, perhaps foolishly, compete with the Xbox deconstructor here.
Can I just point out, you've got the week off, I don't.
Yeah, but I know, it's not going to matter a damn, is it? You're going to quite happily just shuffle into work and sleep throughout the day so that you can do another 17-hour sitting Monday night.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Anyway, I'm enjoying it a lot. We're going to have to be very careful about spoilers here because this is very soon. And
Pope done it.
A lot of people have gone out and bought it as well, if I can tell from my friends list.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the multiplayer as well.
Yes.
But, the premise is basically the same. Animus, exploring genetic memories. You've got assassins and Templars rampaging around in big conspiracies. This one's set mostly in Rome, and this time we're talking a proper Rome, not just the railroaded end level.
I did find it suspicious that there was a tiny bit of Rome shown for an awful lot of work in the last game.
Trying to work out where that level is in compared to the city we've got now.
This game is basically the last game, but extended.
It literally picks up from the very end of Assassin's Creed 2 and carries on, and is very much the same sort of thing. If you liked Assassin's Creed 2, you probably do want to get this. Rome is huge.
It is.
It's much.
I can vouch for that.
It's about two or three times the size of Venice from Assassin's Creed 2 and many, many districts. There's some interesting new mechanics, but on the whole, it's basically the same sort of thing as before, which is not a bad thing at all. If you liked what Assassin's Creed 2 did, then pick this up, definitely.
New stuff is you can control a guild of assassins now.
Yeah, that's the big gimmick, is the Brotherhood, which I've not got to yet, but I gather you can recruit minions and develop up.
I am sort of wondering why I'm doing it, but they can help me in fights, which is maybe the why.
To call in support and stuff. Yeah. You got to try and take over Rome, or at least liberate it from the Borgias, with the new sort of control tower and sort of guard captain areas holding down different bits of the city.
It's very much like the Saboteur.
Okay.
The game from last year, the World War II black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you've basically got areas and you need to break down their control. In this case, it's by killing one person, then you go set fire to a tower, which always explodes.
Yeah, what are they keeping up there?
I guess it's...
Mind you, they've all got like guns and crossbows and things now, so... there's a few new weapons there, a few new gadgets and this, that and the other.
I got a parachute.
I did. Honestly didn't believe him till he showed it to me. What? And the story seems to continue onwards, which is good. And there's a ripping yarn that we liked from Assassin's Creed 2. And also more development in the sort of real world as well with Desmond, which is also quite interesting. Not going to talk about any of that here. But I would highly recommend it.
So would I.
Do you think it would stand alone? It's not an expansion.
It will stand alone as a game, but I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice.
You could have two
good games instead of just the one.
Yeah, you can pick it up straight from the beginning of Brotherhood and play a fantastic story in its own right, but you're going to be wondering what the hell happened previously. Yeah. I've been playing an awful lot of that, but not nearly as much as yourself, clearly. Looking forward to the multiplayer, which is also the big
thing. And there's co-op, apparently.
Is there co-op?
According to the achievement list, there's co-op.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So we'll have to have a go at that.
Yeah, try some of that out. Mind you, you can just wait outside the restricted area if what I saw this afternoon was anything to go by. You are
the worst
assassin ever. Well, technically, you killed your target. Yes, congratulations.
There were no witnesses.
There was no one left. Well, yeah, yeah. There's, you know, hang off the wall. Use the throwing down. No, charges in. Hello, I'm an assassin. I've come to kill your boss. Well,
you can manage the number of people who are attacking you by making it so that only so many of them can get around you at a time. So it theoretically maxes out at the number of.
That's the thing with melee combat. Once you're above 12 opponents, any more doesn't matter. Mounted combat as well. Yep. Coming at you on horses inside the city this time, which is a bit of a change. I like it a lot. I'm going to talk more about it once I've played it to death over the coming week, but good stuff so far.
Yes, because I can't tell you anything because it'd be a spoiler.
What else I played? Dabbled with a little bit of Borderlands. Found myself dropping straight back into that and just enjoying it immensely after like not playing it for weeks and
weeks. That's because it's a very good game.
It is. It's just fantastic for just suddenly, fancy a bit of Borderlands, and there you go, and so next thing you know, you're off. That was another game I bought, actually, one of the few. So good purchase there.
Consumer.
It's lasting me a very long time, that one.
You don't even have any of the DLC, do you?
No, I'm just stuck with the basic game. I've got me Hunter to 50, but I just want to finish the story, you know, get to the end of playthrough 2. You sort of max level that halfway through.
I never finished the playthrough on playthrough.
No, I'll get all the way
but
to the
I
end,
need though. To now because I've got so many more levels.
And then when I've done that, I'll just start again as a siren or something. Yeah, it's the game that keeps on giving.
I don't like the siren.
Mm. It's getting the hang of the mechanics, isn't it? I don't like the Bruiser, the big guy with the fists.
No, I can
Berserker.
Either. Soldier's the only way to go.
Yeah, because you're lazy and the turrets do the work for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably me, really. I'll hand over to you.
Okay. Well, I played some games.
Yeah.
Let's start off with Bloodstone 007, James Bond 007.
Okay.
Which you've actually got in your hand.
It's just on the top of your, the top of your CD pile.
Yes, which is one of the two Bond games, which is out this autumn.
Two?
Yes, the other one's GoldenEye.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
It's a third-person shooter with cover mechanics, which the cover doesn't quite work. Mm. Because no one can get cover quite right, it seems. And it's got driving.
Right.
So there's
driving game.
There's car bits in there
stupid
as well.
Stupid driving level.
Now, the stupid driving level aren't too bad.
Mm.
They're a little bit, you need to know exactly what you're doing to start with. One of them is you must click. It might as well be a QuickTime event for how little scope for error there is.
QuickTime gear shift. Yeah. Oh my god!
Because you need to be doing turns and stuff to keep up with something, and it's awfully easy to handbrake turn off the dock.
Oops. That just has frustration written all over it to me. But
it gets better as it goes along with the drive.
Fair enough.
And there's some nice racing bits. Although I do notice the same Aston Martin with the same license plate, I crashed it two times. One of them, it wasn't even my car. It was somebody else's in Russia.
Whoops.
Same car. The shooting is... I can basically sum up the game by saying it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
5 out of 10.
Well, no, it's more like 7 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, because you start at 5 for worst, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a great game, but it's not a bad game.
Ticks all the boxes.
It ticks all the boxes, and we don't have a Bond film, so I will settle for that.
Ticks all the boxes, doesn't gain any stars.
Yeah. Mm. I enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
I played it through to the end.
Oh, that's good.
And it does feel like Bond.
Yeah.
Which is good. And
that's what you want.
What it basically rammed home to me was, why can't we have an Arkham Asylum-style good Bond game? Because, yeah, Arkham Asylum did a good license thing.
Yeah.
And now we've got this problem where Arkham Asylum sits there in the corner saying, why isn't this as good as me?
That's the trouble with really good games. They make all the other games look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's a scope there for a really good Bond game, but I'm not sure anyone would ever make
They've not hit it yet.
Mm. No.
Well, maybe it's a question of, I don't know, who made Arkham Asylum?
That would be Rocksteady.
Right, so maybe a company like that getting a go at a bigger license. I don't know. Well, maybe this one is good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they'll grow into their art for the next couple.
Next, there's Cod Blops.
Oh, don't call it that. It's lazy.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with fish.
Can basically be summed up as an outstandingly good first-person shooter.
Oh, God, I hate it when things that are this popular are actually justified
but
and this good, yes?
The plot is so annoyingly bollocks.
Have you played a contemporary squad-based shooter before?
Oh, no. It's slightly better than Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
But, you know, it's still complete bollocks, the plot.
Does anyone care?
No.
We were just there for the shooting,
aren't we?
It
actually uses a mechanic which enables them to just nip between missions and go to different things without any real joint between them.
Okay.
So it's really disjointed. Here's a mission in Vietnam. Here's one in wherever.
Oh, so you don't...
Here's one in Slough.
You don't get a sense of ongoing narrative then. It's because it's all so fractured.
You sort of do, but not really. And it could always...
We're going to skip you ahead to the interesting bits where there's shooting in this story. And you can just read some text on the loading screen for the rest of it.
There's some really, really rubbish on rails driving in it.
Oh, there some mini... crappy vehicle level. Hooray.
Quite a lot of crappy vehicles in it, actually.
Right.
Somebody on the internet has played through the first level on hard mode without firing their gun, apart from the two times you have to.
Oh, is it pacifist victory, is it? Or...
Yeah. Oh, well, basically, the game plays itself. It goes on, and the squad members will keep it going. So, it's, you know, it's the biggest selling computer game of all time this year or whatever.
Mm.
And an awful lot of people who play this only play this game every year.
I see.
So
and
you need
no matter what your skill level, the AIs that are with you will make sure you win.
Yeah, it just may take a while.
Fair enough.
Although it's quite funny watching the video because the guy was saying, "Oh, it's rubbish." Then he moans at the AI for glitching because it didn't shoot the guy who was in cover, and then blames it all on the consoles.
Right. Some people are never happy.
He came across as something of a dick on his video.
Right. Fair enough.
Apart from that, the multiplayer's good.
Yeah.
I haven't done an awful lot of it.
You been online with it much?
Yeah, I've done a bit, but not a lot.
Uh-huh. How badly were you humiliated?
Oh, you don't get badly humiliated in COD.
Do they sort of stratify me out by ability and stuff? You don't get thrown in the deep end or whatever.
I assume it's doing that. Yeah, it will be doing that. And in any case, you as long as you get a couple of kills, you start to feel okay.
Yeah.
And these games, it is very easy to get a couple of kills.
Fair enough. Just so much going on. Yeah. There's always somebody with their back to you.
The only really annoying thing is the level of weapons in it.
Okay.
Which, there's stuff like laser sights and whatnot.
When
you're doing a Vietnam era thing, yeah. I haven't really thought
UAV drones in Vietnam.
I haven't really thought this through, have you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good game. I wouldn't buy it myself.
I don't imagine many people are after it for historical accuracy.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it for the single player myself.
No.
But I know some people who will and will be happy with an incredibly short campaign like that.
Okay, what sort of hours? So 10 hours worth of
six,
solo?
Six,
blimey.
And because it's... Call of Duty and you've got the iron sight snap aiming, it's incredibly easy unless you're playing on something really hard.
Okay, so we're sort of passing the single player bit off as the tutorial for the multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really teach you the multiplayer.
Oh.
I think the single player is the thing there for the people who don't want the multiplayer.
Oh, right. But this is basically about the multiplayer.
It's a multiplayer game all the way.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I'd give that 7 out of 10.
Right, okay.
I'm stealing a joke there. Okay. Anyway, next.
Yes.
I got myself a Kinect.
Oh, yes. We ought to talk a bit about this.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that I also played a Kinect. I think that's probably selective blocking.
Yes,
really.
We'll talk about that when we get to...
Yes. Go on, then.
First experiment, Kinect will ignore move.
Don't cross the streams. So, what, you stood in front of it with a move controller and waved... what did it think?
On and
just spat at you.
I happen to have Kinect on and my PS3 at the same time. Yeah.
So if you're trying to play two games at the same time, or one on a Kinect and one on a move, it's fine. Okay, good.
Although apparently it knocks out the Wii. Because it bathes the room in infrared.
Ah.
Which kills the infrared receiver. Yeah.
So not compatible with also playing the same time as the Wii, right?
Why would you?
See, important things that people want to know
that
I'd not seen mentioned anywhere else.
All right, what did I play? Let's start with Kinect Adventures, because that's the one you played.
You get that free with the thing.
That's the thing you get free with it. Because Microsoft actually bothered to give us a free game
in
Europe.
Yeah.
Because Sony didn't remove, because they're bastards.
It's nice to... You actually try the thing you bought out on the day you bought it, yeah. And so this is like a loosely packaged together series of jungle adventures.
Yes. Okay, do you want to give your description of the game?
It's bollocks. I thought, well, there was a thing where I had to stand in some sort of stadium and it fires basketballs at your head, and every so often one will bounce off your head and hit a target at
you
the
were
other
meant
end.
To move.
I didn't want to get in the way of the basketballs because they looked like they'd hurt, to be honest. And then, yeah, lots of people sitting either side in a big stadium shouting at you, which didn't seem like much of a jungle adventure to me. What are all these people doing in this stadium, and why are they firing basketballs at my head? And that's really hostile, and I haven't even got a gun to shoot them with. I found myself quite, felt like a fool, man. You made me feel like a fool in front of, well, like you and everyone else, and it was terrible. I got quite traumatised by the whole thing. Then there was one where you're on a minecart.
Yeah, which is actually quite good.
Yeah, that's and it sort of runs along these rails, and there's these big A's in the sky that sometimes hit you in the head as you're on the minecart, and then every so often there are these things come out of the side or at ankle height, and sometimes they hit you in the head and sometimes they hit you in the ankles, and it makes a big whang noise when it hits you. And
you're meant to be moving around them.
I felt quite humiliated by that, and it didn't give me a gun there either. I could have shot some of them, but and at that point I decided, oh yeah, then it decided to show me some photos of me looking surly, which I didn't really much appreciate.
Without moving at all.
Yes.
Arms by your side, both feet glaring on the ground all the time.
I was practicing my Adama glare there, but yeah, didn't really work. And at that point I decided I'd had enough of Kinect and that it will never work and that it's rubbish. So what about you?
I actually quite like those games. They're quite amusing. Not anything you'd ever play more than on the free demo disc,
In all honesty, I don't know, it just felt made me feel very self-conscious. I mean, it's only you sat there, but I just felt like I look like an idiot. It made me think I'm too self-conscious to play Kinect. Probably too self-conscious to play Kinect on my own, in the privacy of my own home.
What you've got to remember is
it's looking at me. I'm feeling a bit
nervous.
You look
like an idiot normally. That's what everyone sees.
Yes.
If you worry about that, then you kind of never leave the house again.
Ordinarily, no one's showing me pictures of that. I see very few mirrors in my day-to-day life. And it decides that it wants to show you a wacky snap of you having fun. You know, like when you go to Thorpe Park or something on a roller coaster.
Very much
and,
you, like that, yeah.
And, you know, and basically the last time I went on one of those, it was a ghost train thing. And I came out and then I looked in the booth and it was basically me sat there looking like I was masturbating, frankly. And I totally wasn't. And it was just all got very awkward and uncomfortable. So I'm drifting. I didn't like it. I don't know. It felt like the sort of thing I could get used to. I don't know. Did the very first time you had a go on it, did you feel a bit of a lemon?
No.
Oh, it must be just me, my weird psychoses then. Yes. I'll probably have to have another go. I thought I wasn't drunk enough. Were you sober the first time you had a go on it?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You spill your beer if you're very drunk.
I don't know. I just didn't feel very comfortable with it. And I think part of it was that I just feel a lot more comfortable with a controller as an input method than my own body, you know? I just don't feel confident enough flailing with my arms and legs to be able to use that as an accurate method to input instructions into a computer game. I suppose it's something you get used to, something that will grow on you if you do it enough.
So what you basically want is an Animus UI for going to the shops?
That would be awesome. Yeah, if you could just lie on a couch and play Kinect with your mind, that'd be fantastic. But until then, I'm quite happy with a controller. It's the sort of thing, I mean, I wasn't happy with a controller until like this time last year and whatever, and I was a mouse and keyboard
person. There's still time.
But
I'm going to make you try it again, and this time you actually move.
I'll try it again, but I can't promise I'm going to enjoy it
anymore.
You
were standing there like a surly teen.
I know. I was all dressed in black and very emo with it as well. But I just don't know. It's something you're going to have to do a lot and in company that are also all looking like lemons so that you don't feel stupid yourself when you're standing there next to someone who's obviously an expert and pro at it, looking at the scores you were getting.
I'm rubbish at it.
Yes. I don't know. I didn't
like
it.
You see, there's rubbish, and then there's how you were doing.
willfully insubordinate.
Exactly. Refusing to move does not get you the highest scores, although you were scoring.
I was scoring.
It was scoring, and it was telling you hopeful things like you're doing great.
I know, it just said great at the end. I hadn't moved the entire time, and I still managed to score about 40 points and a ranking of not bad, you know.
And the whole thing is, if you had moved, it would have ended quicker. You weren't using the acceleration things.
Oh, God, it was horrific. So that was my move experience.
Yeah.
Kinect, rather, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems to work. Some of those, the game on the minecart is quite amusing.
Yeah, it even knew that you were cheating when you just gave up in exasperation and jumped across and tried to do my thing for me to end it. And
yeah.
It was having none of it.
And it did seamlessly jump into two-player mode as well, which was brilliant.
Yeah, that was...
Just stood next to you.
That was admittedly a clever feature, yeah. Someone else jumps on next to you and suddenly, boom, split screen.
Yeah.
Two side by side, yeah.
Well, I've got my next weapon to convert you, which is Connectimals.
Connectimals. I haven't even seen this. You told me you couldn't show it to me because my mind would explode.
It's the cutest thing ever.
Right.
It's got cute little cats. Rubbish.
I think I'd probably just sit there scowling at that too, to be
rubbish
honest.
Game.
I do want to stroke the tiger, but also not want to be seen enjoying it. It's very important to my dignity. That's the word I'm looking for. Dignity. There is no dignity about Kinect.
If you're worrying about your dignity now, you should have started about 15 years ago.
I suppose.
Yeah, no, Connectimals is interesting. It's basically a vicious cat simulation where you've got these cute little kittens that you're meant to stroke and play with and whatnot. And it purely is amusing because it is so painfully cute.
So what's it doing? It's taking a camera of your living room floor and then superimposing this
No,
cat
it, does, it doesn't do that. That's no? what iPad does.
Oh, right.
This just, you've got ghostly hands.
Oh, okay, where and it's on screen
doing
this thing.
Which you can use for sort of poking it in the eye.
A bit like
stuff.
That Milo thing, but only not as creepy and weird.
Yeah. Milo with cute cats instead
cats.
Of...
It's okay to fondle kittens. It's not okay to fondle small boys.
Exactly.
Yes. I see the thing there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, that game. It should be completely horrible, but it's not, because it's cute.
I haven't even seen it, and I'm scowling.
Yeah. It's well worth the experience, but it's not a game I see myself getting 1,000 achievement points on, put it that way.
Does it have achievement points?
Yeah,
Stroked a cat. Ding, 20.
Yeah, all these games have achievement points.
All right, fair enough.
In case, that's a quite fun one to make somebody play unaware while drunk.
Did you try it with the dog?
No, I couldn't get the dog. Oh, I've got the dog coming next week.
Okay.
The dog
see what the dog makes of the virtual cat.
Dog hasn't been around since got Kinect, so dog can have fun with the virtual cat.
Right. It's going to be fascinating.
It is, yes.
just tear up the living room.
Yeah, and then I start on the fitness games.
Before you go into that, let's just talk a bit about the physical practicalities of it. I would say that you have a larger living room
I have
than
a large
most
living
people.
Room. Yeah.
And it was still having trouble. It had a good zone and a better zone.
I've moved it on top of the TV, which has made it a bit better.
And
the good zone was one player, the better zone was two
so
player.
So you're talking about diagonal length of what, 6 feet up to the line where it says the best zone starts, and then
something
another
like that,
4 foot behind. And
it wasn't the depth,
the distance away from the telly. It was the width, I think.
Yeah, and the width is the problem, and also the fact that by the time you got to the right place, the lampshade's right above your head.
Yeah, I think I saw a Penny Arcade cartoon about this, this very subject. But it you can have a living room that's long enough, but probably not wide enough. I think quite easily.
Yeah.
And I think there may be trouble. I don't know. You'd have to.
I've got my TV in the corner of the room. It's sort of the best case it could be.
Yeah.
I've just got enough room, and I have a quite large living room.
So we're talking. I don't know if I had to sort of guess at about 10 foot by 8 foot. 8 foot wide play zone.
That's probably the max you need. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can get away with less.
The nearer you can get to that, the better. Yeah. But I think it could. It's the width that's going to be the trouble. Yeah. I'm just thinking of various living rooms of everyone I've ever known whose
width.
House I've been in.
It's the width if you want multiplayer.
The two-player thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I think with single player, you're going to be better off, but then you're going to have central lampshade problems.
Single player, you just need to be able to step left and right.
Yeah.
And you don't really need to step as much.
Well, there's a bit of jumping involved as well. So
and there's jumping.
Do look for headroom too.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. That was part of why I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to dash my head open on your lampshade, in the interests of fun.
Well, you are quite tall. I was more worried you were going to dash your head up against my ceiling and
take
break my house.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, I'm a big man and I am out of shape. So.
I managed to whack the lampshade last night and this cloud of dust.
Well, it's the collateral damage, isn't it? I'm sure there's YouTube, the whole YouTube category of Kinect injuries already by now. But okay, so what other games do you have?
I then moved on to the sports games.
Okay.
And the first week, my legs didn't work.
He was just going, ow, 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 as he was walking around.
And then we go to the theatre, which is the theatre with the most stairs on the planet.
Oh God, yeah, Armstrong and Miller, very good, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and then I had another workout yesterday, and now my arms barely work.
Oh, right, so you're varying up which game types you're trying.
Yeah,
I suppose what one day none of your body will hurt and you will be fit.
Yeah, what I've basically learned
is... at least back in working order.
It is incredibly lucky that I make it to each show. The fact that I don't just die during the week is amazing. Which is actually beginning to worry me.
There a serious point here? I mean, does it recommend warm-ups?
Games. I tried Your Shape Fitness Evolved,
okay,
which is what did my legs in. That just really went overboard to start
with. It just slammed straight into it and off you go.
I didn't think it was slamming straight into it. It was funny stretching leg exercises, which I've obviously never, ever, ever done before.
Oh, I've got muscles in my legs I never knew I had.
These positions for my legs, which I just don't need. In my everyday life, those are not required.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't be hurting so much if you'd use them at all in any other situation.
But I felt I was in a better state with EA Sports Active 2.
Did that one seem to be a bit more responsible with the warm-up?
It comes with a heart rate monitor.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, let them mind muscular tearing and ligaments and things. So your head will explode if you do too much.
I was wondering what was going to happen after I'd hit 300. But I never quite made it
300?
No. It kept me at the sensible level, and I don't know if it was doing that on purpose.
I think they're going to be wide open for lawsuits if people carp out when they're trying to do this stuff.
So I had a much better experience with Sports Active.
Okay.
And I think I'm really going to have to keep up with these, otherwise I am going to die.
I mean, neither him nor me are what you'd call particularly fit or in shape, so do comment on the threads if you're with your personal injury overdoing it experiences.
If there is a point where, being fit is, I'm probably as far away from that as I could be.
From what I understand, you keep doing that to yourself and eventually it stops hurting and then things pick up from there.
It doesn't sound like fun.
No, I know, it's getting over that, getting back into shape thing.
I keep spilling my beer.
Does it? Yeah, I suppose it needs some sort of cup holder in front of a camera lens or something. I don't know.
And the last Kinect game I played was Kinect Sport.
Okay.
Which is by Rare.
Okay.
Who originally did GoldenEye.
Right. Small world.
Yeah. Now, that's actually... Yeah, I really don't like these sports games, but I thought I had to try it. Because it's an anecdote.
That's the core audience sort of thing, really, isn't it? That and dance games is what this stuff's for.
And I found myself quite liking it way more than I did Wii Sports.
Ah, right.
The football one actually seemed quite fun. Two people kicking balls at you,
football.
And you have to use them to hit targets. And it takes a rudimentary targeting by the angle you hit the ball and how hard you hit it.
Oh, right. So you can, chip it and slice it. And
yeah, it's not quite very accurate.
Well, it's probably no substitute for getting out into the park with a real football, but interesting and fun in its own right.
Yeah, and so you just basically, you've got this five-a-side football game and you're battling up and down the pitch.
Oh, fair enough.
Which is quite fun.
Yeah.
I always found that I always ended up on the right-hand wing with a cross to do an awkward shot into the goal.
Because
it seems to go between individual points. So you've got these target points you're going for.
Hoof it, fall over backwards, snap your back on a coffee table.
Yeah, so you sort of move forward 6 foot, move forward six, then, which the game designer wannabe in me dissected how I think the game works.
Ah, right.
Apart from that, there was the usual other stuff. There was the running that we saw at Eurogamer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, not fun.
Running on the spot, I suppose.
There was ping pong, which I hate. I hate ping pong. Everyone's always, oh, great, there's ping pong in these games. I don't give a toss. Yeah. I hate ping pong. Stupid game.
We used to do ping pong when I was growing up. We had one of those awful little clip-on nets that you put on a normal table, and we had a dining room table that was just way too small. It was just horrible. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's quite good. But the problem with all these Kinect things is I'm not the ideal market for them.
Mm-mm.
And there's no longevity in any of them.
When you're playing these things, are you seeing yourself doing research for the podcast, or are you genuinely wanting to try this stuff out?
That's the angle I'm going from, and thinking I need to understand this. And I played an awful lot of Move to understand it. Damn, if I'm not going to do the same with this.
Reviewer's viewpoint rather than playing for its own sake. Yeah, I mean, I know you might scoff at this, but I did actually think about getting one for myself as well, just because some form of exercise. But I thought, now I've got an exercise bike I never bloody use. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and this is just going to wind me up, given my brief exposure to it already. So
everything winds you up.
I'm a man on the edge.
You are.
Very irritable.
Yeah. Definitely.
Probably.
I guess that's all of the Kinect stuff.
Did you not do a dance game?
I tried the demo of Dance Central, but the less said about that, the better.
Right. Okay, you'll have to find other review sources for that then, for that sounds of it.
Yeah. Let me just scroll up and see. Oh, Star Trek Online.
How's that going? More events?
We finished the series.
Ah, you've wrapped up season two?
Yep.
Okay.
With the world's worst bartending quest. Scotty, we went back in time.
Yeah.
Scotty needed a device from a trader in another room.
Right.
Now, the trader was a little bit upset because of the attack and needed a nerve tonic, which I had to get from the bar. So I went to the barman. Mm. He said, talk to the barmaid. The barmaid said, go talk to Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty said something. I had to go back to the barmaid.
Yeah.
Barman. assemble a drink based on the answers everyone had given me up until that point about what she likes. Get the drink, give it to her, get the bit, go annoy Scotty again. Yeah.
Well, at least you felt involved in
I felt own. Angry. I felt that
was this another one with no shooting in, was it?
No, then there was this awful space battle.
Oh, fair enough.
The awful space battle being such that if you don't take out the ships fast enough, you get completely overwhelmed and killed.
Are we accidentally trying to solo group content here, do you think?
No, I don't think it was.
Oh, right.
But the plot is Section 31 guy.
Section 31 is what? The Starfleet X-Files people or something, is
they're,
it?
They're the Starfleet secret intelligence people.
Okay, right.
Who may or may not be evil. Mm. Got sent back in time to stop a comet, to stop the Davidians coming through. Davidians are the blue people from the one where they went back to San Francisco in the 18. Well, anyway,
sorry.
And I have to go back in time to destroy a comet to stop them coming through into our universe.
Righto.
Now, Section 31 gives me this cloak for my ship, mm-hmm. which turns me into a nice, inconspicuous ship, which no one's going to take offence with.
Ah, illusion form.
So then I went to this system and slung shot round the sun to send myself back in time, which is quite fun.
Does that still work?
Proper flying, yeah. ended up in the past. First thing that happens, I notice, one, I've turned into a Klingon ship.
Aye?
Two, that's a Federation ship firing on me now. Need to disable him. beam over to the station, stop a big brawl, sort out the bollocks, go back, go to the ship. Go to blow up the comet in my ship.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, bunch of Klingons have arrived saying that I'm part of the Juris family and I should die for what I've done.
Oh, it's all going wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, bad research. Like Klingon, bad idea. Juris,
bad 70s British sitcom farce.
And that, yeah, you die a lot in that unless you can keep down the spawning ships faster than they turn up.
Maybe there's some trick to it that you've missed, but it does sound like hard work, to be honest, yeah.
And that was it. Then I went back into the future and, everything's happy. Got myself a old-fashioned gun.
Hmm. Excellent. So that's all wrapped up now.
That's all wrapped up.
If you were to start playing now, you could go and hook onto those and replay it all anyway, could you?
At level 10, I think.
All right, and the same for season 1 still out there.
Yeah.
Right, so when's season 3?
I don't know. There's series 3 and season 3, which I was getting confused over. There's a big patch coming in December,
mm-hmm.
which is adding the ability to replay missions.
Okay.
Which is good. It's adding the beta for the player customizable missions.
Oh, mission creator stuff. Oh, right.
And some other stuff, and then there'll be another series coming soon.
See, I can't quite get my... I mean, our listeners may know better, but I'm trying to work out the mission architect in City of Heroes, whether that was a product of Cryptic before they buggered off, or whether it was a product of Paragon Studios... Who do City of Heroes now?
I think
now.
It was Paragon.
Oh, right. So, well, a similar sort of thing, though.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge subculture in City of Heroes, of people who make missions and people who love doing other people's missions.
Yes, and the prospect of doing it in Star Trek is quite appealing to an awful lot of people.
It will depend an awful lot on what the tool set turns out to be in final implementation. But, yeah, it sounds promising, certainly.
And as a final note, I logged in during the week, because I've got no reason to log in for a couple of weeks now, except for actually play the game.
Yeah.
Which seems like a rubbish reason to log in.
You've got so much else to play. Yeah.
I logged in and I actually bought myself something off the store.
Oh, right.
Which is the Enterprise.
Enterprise?
From Enterprise,
of course. Yes. What?
Yeah, the original Enterprise from Enterprise. Which
the one
the
Quantum Leap fella drives.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Which is quite... It's for your newbie ship.
Level. Oh, it's a brand new tier one thing.
You've now
it?
Got the Miranda.
Yeah.
And you can buy the Constitution and you can buy the NX-01.
That's a clever way of doing it. Yeah, give people the boring one no one likes or has heard of for free, and then if they want to cosmetic
Everyone's
it...
heard of them, right? It's the one that can't drive.
No, I don't believe you. I think you're making it up.
Yeah, there's now three ships available at that level, which is a bit better.
Yeah, a bit of variety. Give you a bit of choice, customisation. But you can always customise within the type you've got, can't
not
you?
Not for the Constitution or that one.
Oh, okay.
There just aren't any varieties for those.
But for the Miranda, you can muck about with what bits are stuck on
where. Yeah, you can go between
a
Centaur and a whatever. So okay. you can take the old Wrath of Khan one, mm-hmm. and you can add sort of like the Excelsior-style warp engines type thing.
Right, sounds good.
Which is always good.
Yeah. Customisation. Can't beat it.
We sort of covered Lord of the Rings because nothing really interesting happened. I had no anecdotes in my evening. It was just
let's talk about it. You're playing a burglar now?
I'm playing a burglar.
How are you finding that?
I'm finding it like I wish I had more abilities already.
Yeah.
It's still not entirely clear how I'm meant to be playing this on a group situation at level 15.
Ooh. Well, I'm thinking not tanking, but melee DPS, I suppose. Get around the back of it and just try stabbing it, but not stabbing it too hard that it notices you and pummels you into the floor, that kind of thing. Yeah. You're talking your standard roguey backstabby role. I'm guessing you're really not going to get much of a chance to use stealth when you're out and about with
not,
a group.
No.
Because unless the group knows ahead of time to wait while you go on ahead and set things up, it's just going to, you're not going to get the chance to do the big the big backstab moves. But a lot of debuffs, and also you get to be fellowship.
I knew,
Fellowship
yes.
Manoeuvre Master.
Yes, and going by how efficient our group was, I expect them all to work.
Red, what? No, too late. Yeah. I was having a lot of trouble with the minstrel, actually, because you don't get a ranged red or yellow, do you? You have to run in and hit it with the sword to make it work.
You can have the ranged red, can't you?
No.
So you don't have the yellow?
No. There's no. Basically, when the maneuver comes up, unless you run in and melee as a healer.
Yeah,
when
I was doing it with the main group, no one understood that.
Come on, hurry up, John. Yeah. Hang on. Waving a sword at it. Yeah. But I was talking to, I think Malty was saying that they're going to change that. So the minstrel can do ranged contributions to fellowship maneuvers on the red and yellow.
That'd be handy.
That'd be good, yeah. But and what the hell was the deal with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle outfit you seem to be running
It was on
with?
The store.
Oh, right. Fair
I have so many points that I don't know what to do with them. And it was available.
It's
so
an
I thought,
awesome turtle,
it's a turtle
shell
backpack. Yeah. So I turned into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, not helping much with the whole sort of single man or elf taking a school trip around the Shire type.
You put us in a group with one elf and everyone else being a shorty.
There's a lot of shorties in our gang there. Not too late to join up. I suppose by the time you listen to this, it will already be Friday and we'll already be doing our big first thing.
Yeah, but you can come along anyway and we'll fit you in.
Yeah, the whole of Volume 1 is soloable. So if you miss a week, you can always catch up.
Drop across to consulting.tv/forum and you'll see a post there which we're all talking about stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Have I played any other games? There was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but we sort of talked about that.
Yeah, I think we'll probably talk more about that in more detail in a fortnight's time, allowing you, dear listener, to get your playthrough in.
And I won't talk about Need for Speed because I played three races, and I haven't really got a feel for the game yet.
Oh, dear. Are you falling behind with your quotas?
Some of
you've got to really get your Assassin's Creed Brotherhood in, or I'm going to beat you.
I also got the original Prince of Persia trilogy on PS3. Which I haven't even.
I'll keep you busy for a day or two.
Oh,
yeah,
there's three games in that.
I know,
and they're not new games; they're older
quite
games.
Long and
older games are longer.
Quite difficult, jumpy, puzzle-based games at that.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, we didn't do a Twitter question.
No, we didn't.
No,
because you were demob happy, and
I'm on holiday this follow this week. It's
I was
be great.
I was too stressed.
So much games.
I was too stressed working, and you were too happy.
I was too happy to do anything really.
Yeah. La 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 la.
It was brilliant, and they brought cakes in as well.
I didn't even get to go to the pub on Friday lunchtime. It was terrible.
It was a pub lunch as well. Yeah, I lost track of it all a bit. So, what did you learn this week? Should we do any other business?
We could take this opportunity to ask people to go along to iTunes and leave us a review.
So
we can go up the list and people can find us.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to vanhemrock.com and mainly read posts about shows because I haven't really been posting to it. but there's comments for all of the episodes there.
Yeah.
And also if you go to consulting.tv/forum, there's the forums for the show and all the static groups and anything else you feel like.
Mm. So what did you learn this week?
I learned that MMOs, WoW in particular, is now so mainstream that it can be used as a comedy device in a stand-up comedy show.
And I learned that the future of warfare is going to be defined by aerial assault.
And in that comedy show, I learned that each breast counts as one weapon.
Hoo-ha, hoo-ha, hoo-ha. See you next time.
Goodbye.